So very recently, our friends at Christian Concern for Our Nation held a debate, a bit of a conference, where the debate and the theme for the debate was to determine whether engaging with the public sphere, engaging in public life, is something that Christians need to be doing and why they need to be doing it if they do. The idea was to explore whether it is a primary or a secondary gospel issue to stand up for social justice and to stand up in defense of Christians who feel that their rights to express their faith and their rights to live in the UK as Christians are being eroded and being impeded. There were a couple of speakers at it, one of whom was John Stevens. He is the National Director of FIEC. He's on the line with me today to tell us how it went and some of the thoughts that came out of it. John, welcome to UCB.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you very much for having me on the show today.
So tell us the essence of what was being explored here.
Well, the nature of the debate was a discussion about how Christians can best engage in the public sphere and speak for Christ. Christian Concern have a reputation for standing for the rights of Christians in our increasingly post-Christian society, where Christians are being marginalised and Christian values are being undermined. And it was a debate between myself and a Canadian pastor called Joe Boot about slightly different perspectives about how Christians should engage in the public sphere, and specifically to what extent we should expect the state to be imposing and enforcing Christian values on society as a whole.
Yes, because that is a very thorny issue, isn't it, as to whether in a, what I think many people would now say is a post-Christian society, whether we can expect the state to set precedence on our Christian perspective.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think in my opinion, it seems to me that we're living in a post-Christian, predominantly secular society in which the state has abandoned Christian values, largely because the vast majority of the population no longer shares them, believes them, and lives by them. And so therefore, Christians are often surprised by the way that Christian morality is being undermined, legislation is sort of adopting kind of rights and principles that seem in conflict with Christian beliefs, and some of our rights and freedoms are not being protected. But I think that's primarily a result of the fact that churches are declining, Christian influence is small, only between 2-3% of the British population are born-again believers in the Lord Jesus. So it's not that surprising that we have a government which, despite all of the constitutional window dressing, is essentially secular in the way that it approaches public policy issues.
So what does that mean then for ministries like Christian Concern? And of course there are a variety of forms, people like Evangelical Alliance and CARE and so on. But these groups that engage with public life and stand up and sometimes campaign very strongly about these issues, what does that mean for them?
Well, I think it's hugely important that we stand up for the Christian faith in the public sphere. The sort of Christian faith can never be privatized. Christianity is not simply a private religion that is to be kind of kept in the home or in the church. If we follow Jesus as Lord, then we need to live for Jesus as Lord in every sphere, whether it be in civic life, in our work life, in our family life, in our schools and education. So by definition, Christianity is a public faith that has public implications. So I think it's really important that we stand firm for the gospel, we declare that Jesus is Lord, and apply that in every situation in which we find ourselves. Now, the particular battle for many of us is in the issue of the rights and freedoms that Christians have enjoyed, which we've taken for granted in the past, but are under threat or in some ways have been diminished. And I think it's really important that groups like Christian Concern and Christian Institute are standing and fighting for the rights and freedoms of Christians, to preach the gospel clearly and openly, so enjoying the freedom of speech, to be able to talk of Christ and share their beliefs, to be able to engage in evangelism, for example, in the workplace when there are opportunities that they present and people maybe ask questions. So I think that fighting for our freedoms is very important at this particular kind of moment in time. It seems to me biblically we should expect the state to provide freedom to live according to our conscience and to be able to share the good news of the gospel. And that seems to be under threat.
So when people say this is all a bit of a distraction and actually what we should be focusing our attention on is preaching the gospel and sharing our faith with people and doing, you know, communicating the message of hope that we have in Jesus rather than fighting court battles about whether a
a campaign to put posters on the side of a bus can go ahead. What's your response to that?
Well, I think it depends what the nature of the campaign is. It seems to me that within a secular society, we have to accept that sort of the state will want to uphold, for example, the rights and freedoms of all different religious groups. So it's important that we recognise the importance of freedoms for everybody within a plural and multicultural society. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't fight for the Christian freedom, because we can't do the work of evangelism if we're not granted the freedom to do that, if we don't enjoy the right to speak the good news about the Lord Jesus. So I don't think it's a case of either or. Actually, it's vital that we retain those freedoms if we can. Of course, from a biblical perspective, even if those freedoms are removed from us, we have an obligation to obey Christ and not the government, and to speak. The apostles, when they were told not to speak of Christ, said we must obey God yes. rather than men. So at one level, we always have to speak of Christ, whether it's lawful or not. But I think it's right to fight for the freedom to do that. And again, we find Paul doing that in the New Testament. When Christianity was being threatened as an illegal religion, Paul defended before the Roman courts the right of Christians to meet and worship and speak the good news about Jesus, relying on his rights, for example, as a Roman citizen. So I think it's absolutely right that we fight for and defend the rights that we've got. And where the law is taking those rights away in an unfair way, we argue for the law to be changed.
Do we argue for the law to be changed in terms of Christians getting the same rights as everybody else? Or do we still argue for a primacy of the Christian faith and the Christian perspective over other cultural and philosophical perspectives?
I think that's a difficult question. We live in a society which is now multicultural, multi-religious. There are a variety of different sort of religious groups within the UK and of clearly non-religious groups. And the law that's in place at the moment seeks to give rights to all those different groups. So, for example, I think we have to respect the rights, for example, of Muslims, Hindus, Jews, Sikhs and others to be able to also meet to worship and proclaim their faith and live in accordance with their conscience. So I think we have to recognise that in a multi-faith society, we need to stand for the rights of others if we want to enjoy those rights ourselves. But we do need to fight for our rights in particular. And I think particularly the issue of homosexuality and gay marriage has caused some Christian freedoms to live according to conscience to be eroded. I think the result of recent decisions like the Ashes case in Northern Ireland has been there's a growing awareness that the balance seems to be drawn unfairly. Why should those who believe that gay marriage is not right according to the Bible and sinful, why should they be forced to produce a cake which promotes gay marriage? So I think that a number of lawyers who are not Christians and senior judges have registered their concern about the current position. And it's right and appropriate to draw attention to the inconsistencies and unfairness of the way the law is drafted at the moment.
Just very briefly, though, because we do need to draw this to a close. We're running out of time, I'm afraid. Probably could talk all day on it. But you mentioned the word respect there. That has to be a key part in what we do, doesn't it? And it would be fair to say that sometimes the way that Christians speak about other faiths or other philosophical perspectives like the ones that you've mentioned doesn't always come across as particularly respectful of people's right to choose their own path.
I think that's right. It seems to me that in the Bible, God calls people to recognize Jesus as Lord, but gives them the freedom to reject him. And there's a great stress in the New Testament about the way we engage in evangelism and the way we speak to others. We're called to respect the authorities, even though they may not be Christian, just as the Roman authorities weren't Christian. We're called to give the reason for our hope, but to do so with gentleness and respect. We're called by Jesus to love others as we would want to be loved ourselves. And I do think we therefore need to be very careful about reflecting that sense of fairness and awareness of the rights of others when we engage in these debates. And we saw that in relation to the Charlie Hebdo affair in France, where the debate was about freedom of speech. If we want freedom of speech to speak of Jesus and his unique salvation, which some people will find offensive, then we have to accept that others will also have the freedom to say things that we find offensive.
Yes.
So it's appropriate for us, I think, to demonstrate that respect and awareness of the rights of others.
You can see why they invited him to be a participant in the debate, can't you? He is John Stevens. He's the National Director of FIEC, Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. You can find more of his thoughts and his writings at his website, john-stevens.com, Stevens with a V, john-stevens.com. Have a look at that for yourself. John, lovely to speak to you today. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Paul, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.